Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We praise the Lord for His unfailing love. It has been so incredible over these last couple of weeks to really focus in on what the unfailing love of God really means to us in our lives. On Easter Sunday, we were able to explore the fact that just because Jesus was on the cross, that did not mean that the love of the Father was not there for His Son, right? He just had one more step He had to take. There was one more thing He had to do to accomplish the mission that He came to fulfill for all of us. And even last week we talked about what do we do when we fail? Like how does the unfailing love of God impact our lives when we fail? And how are we supposed to respond to that? Today we're going to take another step with this unfailing love of God, and that is to ask ourselves and to really sort of dive into this question: what are we supposed to do with the unfailing love of God? We recognize that God's love is unfailing. It's available to us even as it was available to Jesus, right? He loves us with that same love. And even if we fail, like, He's still there to pick us up and make us new and to empower us to live for Him, right? But once we have this love, once we have received this love from our Father, what are we supposed to do with it? And so we're gonna dive into that today. What are we supposed to do with this unfailing love from God? But before we jump into that, if you would, pray with me. God, we thank You so much for Your word and for Your desire to speak into our lives right now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be Your words, God, that Your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. Lord, that You would help us all to hear Your voice amidst all of the noise, amidst all of the stuff that we bring with us. Lord, help us to hear from You and to respond to You and to have faith in You and to trust You, even when that might seem difficult. Help us to say yes to You even now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're gonna go through a ton of scripture today. Usually for a sermon, I might have like one specific like text that we're really gonna just break down to the bare bones and everything. Like if you actually have a physical Bible in front of you, you are gonna wear out the pages today. All right. And so if you're on your phones or whatever, like, that's fine. Just make sure that, you know, make sure there ain't nothing else popping up, you know, in between these Bible verses here. Your bubble guppy game and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, that can wait. But we are going to cover a lot of scripture. I don't anticipate that you're going to memorize every single verse that I mentioned before you today, all right? So what I would love for you to do is, if there is a particular verse that really hits you, make a note of it, right, so that you can kind of go back and revisit that. A great way to do that as well is we are recording our services both on Facebook and YouTube. By the way, just so you know, you might not realize this since y'all are here, we are live both on Facebook and YouTube simultaneously. And so I know some people have said they've had some issues with the Facebook feed and everything. YouTube is a great way, particularly to pick up the live feed there. And so, anyway, that's another way to get a hold of that. But as a follow-up to today, because there's going to be a lot of content, you might even want to go to the YouTube page or the Facebook page and kind of catch up on, like, what did Pastor say about that eighth point that he made anyway, you know, when it was 2 o'clock and I just wanted to go to lunch. Isn't it funny how it's not that funny? All right, so before we jump into the question of what are we supposed to do with this unfailing love that we have from God, it's probably good for us to look into what is it that we're not supposed to do with this unfailing love from God. And so the first thing that I would say is that we're not supposed to abuse it, right? And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we can say, oh, well, God loves me, which is great and true and wonderful. So because God loves me, like, I can just live however I want to live. Because God loves me, right? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul speaking to the Galatian church, and he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free," right? We were called to be set free through the loving grace of our Heavenly Father and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself, right? We were called to be free. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." We're going to come back to that serving part here in just a little bit. But we need to make sure that we are not falling to the temptation that, well, because God loves me, it doesn't really matter how I live, right? That is not what we are to do with the love of God. We're not to abuse it as if it is some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, well, it doesn't really matter, so I can just live however I want to. No, how we live really does matter. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer, right? So in one sense, the theory here that the author of Romans is dealing with is like, if grace is available to those who have sinned, well then let's keep on sinning so that we can experience more and more grace, right? And you just see how the devil is all at work in that, right? That is not an appropriate use of the unfailing love of God. We're not designed to abuse it. I would even go so far as to say, and I'm going to tell you right now, of all the things I'm going to say today, this is the thing that you're going to scratch your head on, all right? But we are not supposed to misinterpret the love of God either, all right? Here's what I mean by that. The love of God does not save us. Just let that sink in for a second, right? Okay, so Romans 8, 38 and 39, this might be one that's familiar to some of you, says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." I love these verses, by the way. It's such a great build-up and a sermon and everything. Just makes me want to scream and shout. None of that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 100%, it's in the Word, and it's super true. God is going to love your face off, right? Like God loves you whether you are walking with him or not. Like, God loves you enough to send his son to die for you even when you are openly sinning in his face, right? Like, he loves you that much, and there's nothing that will keep God from loving you. However, we also find in Ephesians 2:8, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Like, we need to recognize that in God loving us, unless we actually respond to that love with faith in God and live according to that faith in God, then we are losing every benefit of the love of God that we could have in our lives. We are not saved by grace because God loves us. We are saved by grace through faith in the God who loves us. It's very important that we get that, because general culture today will tell you that, oh, God is a God of love, which means that because he loves you, then we are saved by that love. That, I believe, is a dangerous misinterpretation of the love of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." So this is just to take it that next step farther, to say, like, you can't be good enough to save yourself, right? Even beyond just the fact that God's love is not going to save you, you can't even in your own power save yourself, right? It is only by faith that we can be saved with the grace of God. And we have to receive that grace. That grace is received by faith in Jesus, all right? If you have questions about that, let me know, because that's a really, really important thing to get there. And it seems, I'm just going to tell you right now, it seems really weird to say out loud that the love of God doesn't save us. It seems like absolutely mind-blowing, yet we need to understand that it is very possible that we could be loved by God on our final day and still find ourselves in a devil's hell. Right? God is not going to stop loving you just because you don't have faith in him. But it sure would make a whole lot of sense for us to have faith in God who loves us even when we don't have faith in him. Right? Let me keep going here. It is going to be 3 o'clock before we get going. The last thing that I want to say in terms of what we shouldn't do with the unfailing love of God, and that is to just sit on it. Right? This idea that, well, as long as I have the unfailing love of God, well, then I'm good. Praise God. Like, I got what I need. I got my fire insurance, so we good, right? And I don't think that's entirely what God was really, really hoping for there. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Right? The whole idea there is that if we are actually people of faith, so we have recognized the unfailing love of God, we have submitted ourselves to that unfailing love by faith in him, then there is going to be action that comes from that. There's going to be fruit that comes from that, right? And so if we aren't seeing that fruit, we really need to question the faith, right? And so we don't want to just sit on it. We want to do something with it. When we put our faith in Jesus and put our faith in the God who loves us so, so unconditionally, then we have to put that into practice. We got to do something with it, and thus what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the sermon here. The question that we have before us, what are we then supposed to do with this unfailing love of God? All right, so first thing that I would say is we ought to just be thankful, right? My mom doesn't like it when I say my mom at all in a sermon. But one of my favorite phrases from my mom is, well, that's just the least you could do, right? The least we could do for a God who loves us the way that he does, that sent his son to a cross, that he might die a brutal death, be put in the grave in order that he might be risen again. The least we could do for a God who could overcome sin and death on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it, the least we could do for a God who would provide his Holy Spirit, that we would not have to go through this life on our own, right? But that we might have power and discernment and wisdom and guidance. The least we could do for that kind of God is say thank you, right? The least we could do is say thank you. In Psalm 107, and I'll be honest, I probably could have picked like 8 other psalms as well, but it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, right? Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, right? I mean, I can testify to that as well. Finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle, and let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. See, if we have experienced the goodness of God, if we have experienced the unfailing love of God in our lives, we ought to at least tell God thank you sometime, right? We ought to at least take some time to step back and recognize that I'm not where I used to be, and praise God, he's taken me places that I ain't never been before. Like if we can see that God has been so amazing as to pick us up out of the muck and mire. Can I say that from old school church right there? I don't even know what mire is, but I know it ain't good for us, right? And he can pick us up out of that and clean that off and purify us, make us brand new. Like I don't know if y'all met yourselves before you knew Jesus, but some of y'all were tore all the way up, and yet God saved your life by your faith in Jesus, made you brand new. The least you could do is say thank you to a God like that. Amen? Shoo, I should have brought a towel with me today. That's why we worship God. See, like, just so you know, like, we ain't here just so you can check your church box for the week, right? Like, you ain't getting no God points for this. I just want you to know this right now. Like, when you get to heaven, right? Hopefully we all get there, right? See the first part of the sermon if you're not yet. When you get there, like, the Lord ain't going to ask you how many times you had to listen to my voice on a Sunday morning, right? He's not going to ask you, like how many times were you in your seat on a Sunday? I ain't even going to start on this front row up here right now. Like he ain't going to ask those kind of questions, right? He wants to hear from you now how thankful you are, right? But it's not even about just being here. Like, that's why it's so important for us to have, like a personal prayer life on our own at home as well, or wherever you might happen to be, right? The Lord needs to hear your voice outside of a worship service, right? He needs to know what you sound like, right? He loves to hear your voice. And again, if God is good enough to praise him on a Sunday morning, I'm just guessing he's probably good enough to praise on a Tuesday night. You know what I'm saying? And so it's important for us, for whatever your particular rhythm might be, for how it is that you are in prayer to the Lord, it is important that we find that time to just tell him thank you for how good his unfailing love has been in your life. Which leads me then to the next part, which is that one of the things we should do with the unfailing love of Jesus is testify about that. We not only should we thank God for that, but we should probably tell some other people about the unfailing love of God in our lives, right? In Titus chapter 3, it says, at one time, we too were foolish. Now, again, I need you to hear the testimony of Paul in this, right? We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Like, I need you to hear that as Paul is writing to Titus here, as he's leading in the church and everything, Paul is testifying to him of the abounding love of God in his life, how it changed him, how it molded him, how it made him into the man that he was at that point, right? We need to be quick to testify to others, to share with others, what has the unfailing love of God meant to you in your life, right? We, as in our community group, even just last night, we were processing through, like, how much does the love of God actually motivate how we think and what we do, right? How much does it actually shape our decision making? How much does it shape our daily lives? How much does it shape the actions that we carry out? How much does it shape what we say to other people, right? How much does God's unfailing love for us actually determine the words that come from our mouth in terms of telling others how good he has been, right? One of the ways that you can testify of what God has done in your life is even through baptism. And for those of you who have made a decision to follow Christ, but you've never been baptized, like, baptism is like this public billboard, right? It's this public display, not to say that, okay, when I get baptized, I'm saved. That's not the way we see it. No, what we see is that when you put your faith in Jesus, right, like, you are saved at that point. However, baptism is the celebration of what God has done in you, right, and your response to him. It's a matter of the fact that you are not living the same old dead life you used to live. Now you've been raised up with Christ. And so we celebrate in baptism. And I want to invite you, if you've never been baptized and you would like to make that declaration for the world and for the church, we would love to be a part of that with you and to really celebrate all that God is doing in your life. If that is something that you're interested in, or maybe you just have questions about, again, those connect cards that are on the back of your seats there, that's a great way to just let me know. You can just fill those out, put it even in like one of the offering boxes or something like that. We can follow up with you and have a conversation about, like, you know, where are you in your faith and that kind of stuff, and how can we celebrate together, and when can we schedule this whole thing and all that kind of stuff, right? And so we would love to celebrate your testimony in baptism together. All right, next thing we can do in terms of what we can do with the unfailing love of God is to simply love others, right? This is sort of the no duh part of the sermon here, right? So if you have received the love of God, again, the least we could do is love somebody else with that, right? I mean, that's pretty awesome. 1 John 4, verses 16 and 19 say, "And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We love because he first loved us." We even see in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Right? This is where they're kind of coming to challenge Jesus a little bit. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." And again, as we were kind of talking about some of this even last night in my community group, and again, if you're not a part of a community group, you got to get into one. You really do. Like these are so, the Bible study itself is so rich, but even just the relationships that you're going to build with the people who are in these groups, like, you're going to look across the room at the people who are in your group, and you're going to be like I would never have put this group together. But you will find yourself, like, being so encouraged and thankful for each and every person in that room. It really is amazing. I really want to encourage you. If you're not a part of a community group yet, find a way. It'll bless your socks off. So as we were processing some things last night in regard to this idea of loving others, like, what does it look like for us to love others? One of the group members was sharing, and I just felt like the Lord was really kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, you know what, like, God didn't send, like, the Father did not send the Son to the cross so that the church could be a bunch of nice people. this is great. I really need to, like, I need to pull out some of these quotes here just so that, like, yes, I really did say that. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for us to be nice people, right? That is not the goal of salvation. The goal of salvation is not for you to be nice, right? You can be nice without Jesus. You'll need Jesus to be nice, right? The reason Jesus went to the cross was to show the unfailing love of God, like in a way that nothing else could show that, in order that we might be so changed by the unfailing love of God that we would radically love other people around us in such a way that they are left only to scratch their heads wondering, what in the world is wrong with these people who would love me like that? That is the kind of love that we need to have for other people. The kind of love that would make us question ourselves, like, why in the world did I just do that? Right? I'm talking about loving your enemies. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this person doesn't like me. Why in the world should I like them? Right? And yet Jesus tells us to love your enemies, to have compassion for them. And so many times we are face to face with an enemy, and we allow our flesh to convince us that we are justified in either, whether it is hatred or at least our great dislike for that person. Yet at the same time, we look at Jesus as if to say that our sin was not worthy of him disliking us. He was sinless. He did nothing wrong. And he died as we were actively sinning against him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see what I'm talking about? Like when you start to really get into like what it looks like for us to love others, like this is not just, I am not just asking you to just be nice. If you want to be nice, like just go, you can go to work and talk to the HR department and they can teach you how to be nice. They can teach you how to be nice. They'll teach you how to respect the people you work with and, you know, just put on the face and pretend to do whatever it is you're supposed to do socially or whatever like that. Like, they'll help you with all that stuff. But if you want to actually, like do something with the love of God that might actually make a difference in the lives of other people, just like that love made a difference in you, well, then we've got to see that this is a different kind of love. And that happens when we're able to look at those people that are hard to love with compassion and with mercy, with a softness in our eyes and not a judgment, right? And that's not, that is so hard. I get it. It really, like that does not come naturally for us. But here's the deal, right? Remember, so we are living our lives. Our desire is to see God at work in our lives in order that we might submit ourselves to him, in order that we might receive the fruit of his Holy Spirit. The only way that we get to live out the fruit of this kind of love, which, by the way, love is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. The only way that we get to live out this kind of love is when it's no longer about us, but it's all about submitting to him. And it won't seem fair, and it won't seem right, but you know what? It wasn't fair when Jesus died on the cross for you either. It wasn't right that he had to spill his blood for our sins. That wasn't right at all. Yet God loved us enough in order for that to happen, in order that we might submit ourselves to him and receive every blessing that he has for us. What I want to just encourage you with today is like when you see and receive the unfailing love of God in your life, like love somebody else in a way that it actually makes you wonder, why in the world am I doing this? And just trust that God is able to work in that unfailing love that he has for you and through you. I need to get moving here. We are going to be here till tomorrow. All right. One of the things that we have to do with the unfailing love of God is we've got to serve. We've got to serve in the love that we have received. We've got to serve out of that love others around us as well. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 and 28, Jesus called them together, and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you," talking to his disciples. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's so important that we recognize here that Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he didn't do. Receive that today. Receive that today. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that he didn't do. He's not saying it's going to be easy. He's not saying it's just going to be a walk in the park. But as we choose to serve others out of the unfailing love of God in our lives, others will be impacted and drawn to that love for themselves as well. Many times we can show that love by the way that we serve, even as Jesus came and served. I really want to encourage you as being a part of the church here to find a place to serve. If you haven't found that place yet, Naomi, our connections director, she is so good at working with people just to help you find a place where you can serve in a way that energizes you and isn't just something you don't really want to do, but you're just filling a spot. And like, she's really good at figuring out, like, where is your heart? How's the Lord leading you? And how can we plug you into a place of service? A great way for you to begin that conversation is through that free coffee with Naomi that we've got going. The next time we're going to do that is Sunday, May the 15th, so the Sunday after Mother's Day, and it's going to be right out in the lobby here. Whether you are relatively new to the church, or maybe you've been a part of the church for a long time, but you're still looking for that place to serve, you can come and be a part of free coffee with Naomi. She just kind of gives an overview as to who we are as a church, and begins to help you get plugged into how can you take the next steps towards serving with the church and for the kingdom. And so would really encourage you to be a part of that, whether you're new or even if you've been here for a while. One last thing I want to say, and then we're going to close out here, and that is that with the love of the unfailing love of God in our lives, we have to be people who forgive. Amen. We have to. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Again, this just goes back to, if we can receive the unfailing love of God and the forgiveness that he has for us, we have to be able to extend that mercy and forgiveness to others as well. In Matthew 6, it says, "For if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." We cannot just brush over this here. The opportunity you have to forgive others is the opportunity you have to be forgiven. Ooh, I hope you get that today. And again, hear this now. This is where it really comes down to trust in the Lord, because it's not going to make sense, and it's not going to seem fair, and it's not going to seem right. Like somebody's done you wrong, and that person needs to be punished for that, right? Well, we need to trust that God is going to be able to handle that in his own divine will and favor, right? That is not for us to make. And if we try to take upon God's work in our lives, we are going to be stuck in that for our entire lives. And so our lives are going to be controlled by people who have done us wrong. And I have enough control issues to not like the fact that anybody can control me other than the Holy Spirit that I would allow to control me. So if I don't like you anyway, I'm sure not going to let you control the rest of my life. I'm going to live in the freedom that Jesus Christ has for me, right? And I can't let someone else who does not have my best interest at heart control how I live the rest of my days. I have to forgive in order that I can live the life that God has for me. And I've got to trust that he's able to bring me through all of that. So I want to go ahead and invite our worship team up right now. And as they come, I just want to get you thinking right now. What is it that you need to do with the unfailing love of God in your life? How is it that you need to respond? Now that we are talking about this, now that we're thinking about this, now that you recognize how much God loves you and all that he's done for you, like, what is it that you need to do? How is it that you need to respond by faith? What is your faith step that you must take? Even now, as we sing a couple of songs together, I want to invite you to just say yes to him. Whatever it is that God is challenging you with now, maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer and actually like humble yourself on your knees before God and say, you know what, Lord, I don't like what I'm about to pray, but Lord, I want to love other people the way you loved me. Maybe you just have some resentment that's keeping you from being able to show that love to others. Maybe there's something that's inside of you that's holding you back. Whatever that is, maybe you just need to come and like physically submit yourself before him and say, God, I just need you to work on that. Maybe you want to pray with somebody right there in your seats and just ask maybe someone right beside you and say, hey, can you pray for me? Because I know I need to love others. God's been too good to me. But I don't know how to do it. I don't know what the first step is. Maybe you just pull somebody aside right where you are and just pray together right there. However it is, I want you to say yes to him. Stand with me now if you would, please. As we sing together, I want you to dare to take the step of faith that God is calling you to take right now. To live out that love. To love others with the same love that you have received from him. What would that look like right now? I dare you to say yes to him and to take that step of faith with him.